I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of time. To become a part of time.
Everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. I think we've got an interesting show in store for you this evening. It's going to be centered around the theme of magic. And before we get into that, I'd like to provide my usual disclaimer that this program was created in order to share the information about the positive and most effective benefits and insights of ET Yoga. It is therefore for educational purposes, and although thought to be accurate, is provided as is, and without warranty of any kind, either expressed or unexpressed or implied. Please note that ET Yoga is not a substitute for medical care. Information is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. You should always consult with the appropriate health practitioner in case of any medical condition. Now, interesting, in preparation for tonight's program and coming up with the idea about magic, I definitely wanted to make a connection between the concept of beliefs and magic. And if you're a longtime listener of ET Yoga, you've probably heard me talk about some of the latest advances in quantum physics, where they've virtually proven that the universe functions much like a reality computer program, a holographic one at that. And that in conjunction with that, and especially if you look under Google searches for a guy named Greg Braden, a very popular scientist, you'll note that they've also discovered that the main energy is consciousness, and also that, like any computer program, there's a language of recognition. And in this case, the language of recognition in our universe is belief. In other words, what you believe is. Now, if you were to do a question there about ET Yoga, in simplified terms, I've stated many times that ET Yoga basically, in its most concise form, is about the fact that thought creates, or belief creates, or that you need to be a frequency match for what you experience. All the same thing. And, interestingly enough, this whole concept of magic is connected to beliefs, because magic, to my way of thinking, is the ability to conjure something into form, and beliefs do the same. And mass beliefs create mass conjurings. So it's kind of, to my way of thinking, a very interesting connection between the whole idea of beliefs and magic. And the Pleiadians actually have said that beliefs form the structure and the parameters of your life experience in any area. And the Pleiadians have said, understanding the power of beliefs and the power of the mind, both individually and in mass, is the most pressing and crucial issue for humankind to grasp. Because the overall world structure is a framework of agreements that you operate within. And it's not the only version of the world. Nature is flexible and alive with multidimensional possibilities, and your beliefs decisions, and emotions play the decisive role in creating the version of the world reality you actually encounter. And as we've mentioned many times on ET Yoga, it's your emotions, your thoughts, your definitions, your beliefs that create a perfect reflection of what you experience in reality. And interesting connection to that is the idea that magic is the ability to conjure something into form just the same way that beliefs do. Now, I'm not talking tonight about the type of magic that, you've seen like in something like in the movie The Prestige, for example. I'm not talking about that type of magic. That's where you have the promise, and you have the turn, and then you have the prestige, which is the final part of a magic act. We're not talking about magic this evening, with the concept that there's a trick involved in magic acts that you may go and see. The pledge is usually where the magician shows you something ordinary, and then the turn is where the magician makes his ordinary something do something extraordinary, and then the third part of a magic act is typically called the prestige, where you see something shocking you've never seen before. And, for example, the pledge could be where they promise to cut a person in half, and then the turn is when they actually cut the person in half, and then the prestige is then where they bring the person back together again. Those are the stages of what I would call magic acts or magic tricks. Not that possibly in the past there were actually some real magic involved in some of the shows that people have seen, but for the most part, most audiences are fascinated by the whole concept of magic, and by and large, many people really don't want to know the real truth about real magic. And to my way of thinking, real is bringing, let's call them holographic inserts, into our experience. And we also know that modern science has finally come to realize that at least 90% of the brain that we supposedly never use actually corresponds to the role of the 90% of our DNA that was once called junk DNA, but is now understood as a communications interface between our physical brain and the universe at large. And as Rupert Sheldrake points out in his theory of morphogenetic field resonance, the hundredth monkey effect occurs when enough people drawn together by a shared purpose create a quantum field of self-fulfilling potential. And when that happens, the rest of the world, in varying degrees, will experience an internal shift in fifth to tenth dimensional consciousness. And for those not familiar with the hundredth monkey effect, in kind of simplified terms, I believe that it all came about because of a study with some monkeys that were taught how to wash potatoes. And I believe this was on an isolated island. And the phenomenon actually spread to monkeys that weren't on the island. And this is where the whole concept started to gain recognition. And similarly, in the human field, when enough people understand a concept, I've been told it's somewhere around 5 to 7%. When 5 to 7% of the population understands a concept, apparently the rest of us get it in varying degrees. And I may also point out that there's also a correspondence between our 12 strands of DNA and the 12 chakras, seven inside the body, which many of us are aware of through the yogic teachings, and through extraterrestrial information, primarily from the Pleiadians, we are become aware that there are now five outside the body. And I have done, actually, in the past, a show on this, talking about the function of all of those different chakras. Now, if you're a regular listener of ET Yoga, you're aware of how by placing a positive spin on outer circumstances, you can create a positive experience. And it's just my personal opinion, but this is closely aligned to the idea of shifting to another version of reality, as there is no objective reality. There is the idea of a consensus reality. Reality is the experience. And for an amazing description of exactly how shifting works, I bow to Bashar. And he's Sasani, channeled by Daryl Anka, and I will quote his explanation of shifting. It has been often said you're shifting your frequencies from one reality level to another, and this is so. But you are always shifting. You're shifting now. It's a natural thing that you do. You don't have to wait to shift. You've been shifting. You've been shifting all your lives. This is the way motion is created. This is what happens when you create the illusion of movement. The only way to create the illusion of movement is to actually shift from parallel reality to parallel reality. That's slightly different than the reality you were in before. So you're shifting now. You're shifting now. You're shifting now. You're shifting now through constant, constant, and constantly shifting parallel realities. The idea is you don't notice this so much because each new reality you shift to is very similar to the one you were existing in before. The idea of noticing the change is to create there to be a bigger difference between the parallel reality you shift to and the one that you were in before. That's when you know you're shifting. That's when you reveal to yourself that you are always constantly shifting, and that learning to shift is not something you have to do. You do it automatically. You do it by your own second nature. It's natural for you to shift. This is the nature of how reality works. This is the nature of how change exists. So the question is not, can you shift? The question is, what will you shift to, and how different will you allow the shift to be based on your definitions and your own belief systems of what you believe is possible for you? And this is why it is of paramount importance, as has been said this day, for you to really focus on the idea of the frequency, your vibrational state, the state of being that you prefer your reality to be. And thus then understand, based on what we have just said about shifting to parallel Earth realities, that when you change the vibration of your being, it's not that you change the world, it's that you take yourself, you shift yourself to a parallel Earth already existing on the vibratory level you have created within yourself. So it's not about having to force anyone else to change. It's only about you changing and taking yourself to whatever reality, whatever parallel Earth is representative of the vibrational frequency you have created within your own state of being. And thus then find yourself surrounded by other beings who already populate that world but are already more representative of the vibrational frequency you have created yourself to shift to. Now, Bashar says, is this making some sense to you? The idea here again is that this is simple physics. As many of your scientists are beginning to realize, everything exists all at once, all now, in a sense, all here. But you create the illusion of separation by creating differences in vibrational frequency. As each and every one of you goes to your home this day of your time, after these interactions, many of you sit down to your couches. You may pick up one of your remotes. You may turn on the television set, and your television technology is the perfect analogy of what we're talking about. The idea is that you know that at any given moment, there are any number of dozens of television programs that are available to you at that moment, all coexisting simultaneously, but that you will only get the program that you tune your channel to. This is exactly how physical reality is holographically structured. Whatever vibrational realm you exist on, whatever state of vibrational being you choose to be, is the reality you get. What you put out is what you get back. Simple physics. For every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. Simple physics, that's all this is. It's about creating the appropriate state that you prefer in your own being and allowing reality, in a sense, to reflect back to you the shift you have made in yourself. But you must understand that the opposite is also true. You cannot perceive what you are not the vibration of. If you turn your television set, to use this analogy further, to what you call your channel 2, you will not receive the program on channel 4. You have to tune your set to channel 4 to get that program. Likewise, based on the reality you say you prefer, if you do not allow yourself in your definitions, in your emotion, in your thought and action and behaviors in life to exemplify the vibratory reality that you say you prefer to live in, then you will not be actually capable of perceiving any opportunities that could actually allow you to synchronistically get yourself or shift yourself to that reality. Remember, what you are not the vibration of remains invisible to you. Many times, individuals wonder, why can't I do this? Why can't I get there? Why doesn't this happen? It may simply be an issue of that they are on a frequency operating in a frequency domain that creates certain opportunities to remain invisible to them, unknowable to them, unimaginable to them, and will never even conceive of those ideas nor recognize them even if they were right in front of their face because they are not operating on that level. You have to be in the state to see the opportunities and the doorways that actually lead to that reality. This is, again, simple physics. It is a very, very, very simple concept, a very fundamental concept, but we understand that many people on your planet seem to have a lot of difficulty in relating to this idea and creating the kind of changes within themselves that they say they want to make. This all simply comes down to the notion of definitions, how you define your reality. Belief systems, basically, is what we're talking about. Because you do not have, you cannot have an actual experiential reality except as is based upon the strongest thing you believe it can be. The strongest way you define your relationship to it and to yourself. All experiences in life are based upon, in your physical reality, in your dimension, all experiences are based on the strongest definition you have bought into about that reality. There have been many, many discussions about the kinds of realities that your probable futures may hold. And I say this, as has been said, they are probable futures. Nothing is set in stone. Nothing is chiseled in steel. You have the wherewithal to understand that these are simply a function of probabilities, that there is no, quote, the future. There are many, many, many possible futures. The idea, as we have just explained it, is that whatever vibratory realm you exist in, whatever state of being you decide is true for you, will be, generally speaking, the future, so to speak, you will experience. And even if there are other people who think completely oppositely, who believe completely opposite of you, they will have their reality experience as well. The idea here, again, is that you don't have to change your world. You simply need to shift to a world that's already representative of the change you wish to experience and allow those that wish to remain in the vibrational world that they have been in to remain there, because that Earth will exist and does exist as well. All these parallel realities exist right now at the same time, just like the television program. So to further stretch the analogy, what this all comes down to by using the analogy of your TV program is to understand that it all comes down to transformational vibration TV. That's what you're doing with it. Transformational Vibration TV. You decide what TV show you're going to experience, but you have to tune to that channel or you will not be capable of seeing that TV show that you say you're desiring to be seeing. That's the end of the Bashar quote. And I should also point out that Bashar has given further clues as to the success of manifesting by stating that the mechanism of manifestation is not just about intention, focus, and concentration, but also in, quote, letting go. The idea, he suggests, is to spend 15 minutes and no more in the process of intention, focus, concentration, and the buildup of emotion with regard to your desired outcomes, and then let it go to the higher self. Let the higher self do the job. The higher self knows the how. Then move on to the next most exciting thing you can do. So, interesting about how the rational mind functions. And again, according to Bashar, one of the main functions of the rational mind is to place positive spin on outer circumstances. And this whole idea that he talks about letting go, apparently is a mechanism of manifestation that many people fail to take into consideration. There's also an interesting video on YouTube with Bashar, and it's concerning manifestation. And it's with a woman who basically is having some difficulty in her mind manifesting, and especially around the concept of money. And I think money is one of those, it's a real tricky one, because looking from the perspective of the higher self, I think you can appreciate that there are certain times in a person's life that if they came into too much money, it probably wouldn't be the best thing for them. Your higher self actually helps prepare you for those situations. And in many instances, wants you to have certain experiences before that happens. And if you're really, you know, passionate about manifesting lots of money, I would say that the best idea, again, coming from Bashar, is to have the attitude that you always get what you want. And if you don't get it right now, there's a reason for it. In time, it's coming about. So I think, and as Sri Swami Sachidananda used to say, is a plan pending God's approval. So money can be real tricky, and there's a paradox involved with, I think, really cashing in on the big one, let's say. And the paradox kind of goes like this. You need to be happy just because that's it. Just because. It's not that if only I had $10 million, I'd be happy. Or if only this, or if only that. Because what you're going to get back is a reflection of that. When you decide to be a joyous being, regardless of outer circumstances, then the universe can match that mirror image and in ways that it so desires to do. As Bashar says, the how is really not one of the functions of the rational mind. We don't know the how of pretty much anything. We can know the what, but the higher mind determines the how. And the paradox is kind of like this. It's sort of like, regardless of outer circumstances, if you choose to be a joyous being, you've then opened the door for that reflection to manifest in your life. And if you haven't reached that point, and you're reaching the point where you think that that winning of the money or the obtaining of the money is going to be the reason why you're going to be happy, then the universe would not manifest that. So if you can see the paradox here, it's a yeah, but no. And also, like I said, money's tricky anyway because of the timing. So just a few tips I wanted to pass on from Bashar. And He has lots of tips about lots of subjects, and especially manifestation. Now, a mystical magician is one who is in control of his or her reality. And this information actually comes from the Creating Camelot Club. And for those who kind of pay attention to ET Yoga and you've got a pen and pencil handy, it's called Creating Camelot Club. And I tuned into this about 10 years ago. It's an amazing website. Merlin the Magician operates the site and in close conjunction with Merlin. Yeah, Merlin the Magician. And magicians, according to them, create what they want to desire to have, no matter what they have or see they don't have. They know how to perform vanishing acts when something is less than the way they would want it to be. They know how to apply alchemy and turn what is not so golden into gold. They have unconditionally, meaning that they do not put up with anything other than the way they want things to be, which allows them to operate in a fast frequency of vibration where manifestation happens fast. And that's what makes it magic. Because magic is never associated with struggle, hard work, or effort. The law of attraction governs the universe and is known as a universal principle. And, this whole idea of universal principles, I think, is a key concept here. And for those interested in Bashar's definitions about universal principles, he basically says that there's only four laws in creation. Quite simple. Number one is that you exist. And you can't do much about that. You know, you're here. And but interestingly enough, from the higher self's point of view, because everything's happening in the now, and actually you're having simultaneous incarnations, or your higher self's having simultaneous incarnations. If you exist now, you've always existed in some form or another. Interesting concept. The second one is that the one is all and the all are one. The third is that what you put out is what you get back, or what's more commonly called these days the law of attraction. And four, that change is the only constant, except for the first three laws, which never change. And even change actually changes to stasis and then reboots the first three laws. So those are the general rules of the outer world, and apparently regardless of what dimension you live in. And we live by this law of attraction. And even if we're not fully aware that we are. In fact, it's interesting on my website at etyoga at etyoga.com. It's called Healing the Known and the Unknown, and I make it clear there that really the site's not for everyone because it's available to everyone and everyone has the potential to use it. But if you don't have the proper belief systems, then a lot of that material is not going to be relevant to you. And we're going to get into that in a little more detail this evening as well. Now, the law says that if you are feeling something, you are sending a message that says, give me more of what I say is so for me. We sow the seeds of thought and in time reap the harvest thereof. And attention to something is attention of that something. And the more attention you pay to something, the more attention it pays to you. So focus is energy flow. And the same energy that creates the infinite cosmos flows through us and gives birth to where we flow that energy. As we see, observe, ponder, imagine, envision, focus upon, or pay attention to anything, we begin by the law of attraction to draw to us those things. And we flow energy right to where we do and don't want to go. And it goes against all that is holy, who we are, when we say, I give to myself something less than who I am. This is crazy-making, as energy in motion fulfills both our dreams and our nightmares. There is no defying or denying this law. What goes out must come back. What we are experiencing is our inner world and will come back to view us in our outer world as a mirror reflection of who we have become. We don't necessarily have to believe in this law, but it totally, wholly, fully, faithfully, 100% believes in us. This law does not discriminate, it holds no prejudices, it has no restrictions, and never condemns. The more we don't like something, the more we draw what that is to us, even though it is not what the awakened one would choose. And if the truth be known, if more of us knew how it is that we draw experience to us, the less experiences we would draw to us that do not represent us. And that's just the fact that people just don't know how this works. And because what we've been conditioned to fear is all too easy to believe because of past experiences that have nothing to do with now, until we bring them into another now and fear what could become a possible future. Those thoughts start to send energy in motion through negative emotions that move us away from who we are and what we want, and that's why they simply don't feel good. We exist, and we are powerful, and the law exists, and the law is powerful. And it is, in fact, so powerful, this law of attraction, that it allows us to create anything just because the law wants us to know how powerful we are. The law demonstrates our exponential freedom. We are so free, in fact, that we can and do create lack and limitation, murder and mayhem. But on the other side of the same token, with that same freedom, we are free to create our natural state of magic and miracles, bliss and ecstasy. And I'd like now to share with you, actually, some information from Merlin. And he states that many of you have moved from the third density reality and are now operating in the fourth. And all while moving and thrusting forward into the fifth density reality. In the third, you are not fully aware that you are a creator. This is where you easily find feelings of guilt, blame, shame, fear, frustration, and all the negative feelings that keep people stuck in third density reality. They feel things outside of them are causing what comes to them. And that's the point I made actually in the previous ET Yoga program as well, that this is really the determining point here. If you think that everything's just happening to you by accident, well, then you're going to be functioning in third dimensional reality. And, you know, when you start trying to do things like self-healing or healing others, I mean, if you don't have the proper belief system, you're just operating on a different frequency. According to Merlin, he basically says that when people think that things must be happening to them, they have nothing to do with, they will stay there until they ask and desire to know why life is like it is, which is so often filled with these things that they do not want. And when you begin to take self-responsibility, knowing you are the creator, you have moved into fourth density. And if you're having, if you are listening to this program, actually, and listening to this topic, probably means that you're either peeking into the fourth or have already arrived. Even if you do not always operate in the fourth, shifting back to the third at times, which is normal considering your conditions and circumstances, You're nonetheless aware that when you remember what you're doing through your feelings, you are still primarily operating in the fourth through your awareness of what you're doing, even if you find yourself operating in the third density. So the fact that you have found yourself there means that you have stepped across the threshold of enlightenment. Now you automatically begin to live in the fourth density reality more of the time. You are aware that you have moved from your fourth density reality by the way that you feel, and you can then feel your way back to fourth density. And the more you do that, the easier it is for you to stay in the fourth density reality. Thus, the easier it is for you to bring those things you desire to experience into your experience. This is when creating gets fun. And to me, this is, again, this is the connection between this whole practical information concerning self-empowerment and outer creation and shifting and attracting into your reality, which to me is magic, because what's magic, to my way of thinking, the real magic is bringing things about that you want to experience or making changes. And also, as Merlin pointed out, this taking of responsibility. And Bashar says the same thing. Take 100% responsibility for your outer reality, because, ironically, you're the one creating it anyway, but it's just that you become aware of that, and this is the critical juncture between third and fourth density. This is the whole critical point of your power, because if things are just happening to you, you become a victim and powerless. But if you're the one that's creating it, you have the power to fix it. You have the power to change it. That's where the whole concept around belief comes in. And in doing this, the return to your fourth density, it not only allows your dreams to come true, but it assists others in allowing more of who they are to come true as well. Why? Because you are the one from the one, and have just added to the thought mass that allows others, including you, to more easily step into or access those fourth density thoughts. And as you lift into the faster frequency densities, you lift the whole of all that is in existence. You are now making a huge difference in both your personal and planetary worlds. And again, as Bashar would say, in fact, one of my favorite comments of Bashar is that just by being here, you're already making the optimum difference in this world. But when you do your passion, others become aware of the difference you're already making. To me, a really beautiful saying. Now, according to Merlin, the fifth density reality, that of the unconditional loving allowance kind, and he says not to be confused with the old definition of putting up with people or things that are not the way you want them to be, is the fastest frequency that you can operate in while being physically in incarnation. Friends, he says, the faster the frequency, the faster the fruition or manifestation. In the fifth density reality, you walk in the light because you have included and allowed the darkness to be part of the whole of who you are. You have integrated and balanced both the masculine and feminine, the negative and the positive, the active and receptive, and so on, into becoming more of a whole functioning being that allows wholly who you are to be. This is your natural, magical state of being. You are aware that you are light in crystalline form, and that in that form, you are illuminated in radiance and resonance, and you can then form anything into being. This is transformation at its finest. Operating in the fifth density is where you allow the vibratory and vibrancy of the speed of love or unconditional love in its nature, which is faster than the speed of light, to become a reality. This is where metaphysical wizards and master mystical magicians love to play. This is where magic becomes the rule rather than the exception. This is where miracles become the ordinary rather than the extraordinary. This density is the non-resistant state, where you allow the flow that takes you to anywhere you want to go easily and effortlessly. And magic is our natural state, and it comes naturally when we are resonating or vibrating in the state of unconditional love, that of fifth density, where we have mastered the craft of Creator. And I find that to be great advice from Merlin, and again, from the Creating Camelot website. And, you know, when we start talking about reality and reality creation, it always reminds me of the ultimate truths of reality. And that comes from the College of Christ Consciousness. It's not a religious site, it's a spiritual site, and I know many people are starting to learn the distinction between spirituality and religion. But it so turns out that these ultimate truths of reality was information that is being channeled by Jean Hatch from Mother Mary at a time when this information abounded, was when she was part of the Essene culture a few thousand years back, a couple thousand in anyway. And much of this information was actually kept in the mystery schools and away from public information. It's probably been, I don't know, 7 or 8 years now that this information has come forward. And if you go to the College of Christ Consciousness, listed there are 21 ultimate truths of reality. And I'm going to share with you just a few of those this evening, because how they relate so much to belief and magic. And one of them is that nothing can be in my reality unless I create it, because no one creates my reality but me. It is not possible for anything nor anyone to be in my reality unless I attract it, and I attract through my beliefs. Interesting that what we're finding here is the ultimate truths of reality, which basically Mother Mary was directly involved with, as was Christ, is saying the exact same thing that Bashar is saying. And Bashar, actually, according to him, is coming from like a few thousand years in our future. And it's also the same thing that the current Pleiadians are telling us. And it's also the same thing that's been kept in the mystery schools for 2,000 years. So they're all saying exactly the same thing. And how much of this reality centers around our beliefs. Bottom line. As I mentioned many times, the whole concept of placebo. Why does the placebo effect work? Well, it works because people believe it does. People believe that they're given something that's going to make them better, and they get better because they believe it. That's it. And this isn't true just in the medical field. The whole idea here is expand this concept to every area in your life, because that's how the universe works. Now, another one that's interesting is that as a creator, I am 100% responsible for everything I create. It is not possible for anyone or anything other than me to be responsible for my experiences if I'm the only one who can create in my reality. So here we are again, talking about taking responsibility. That's what Bashar says, take 100% responsibility. That's what Merlin says. When you become aware that you're the creator, you take responsibility. So again, we're finding the connection of the information from thousands of years in our future to a couple thousand years in our past, to information that's coming to us in the now. Here's another interesting one. There are no accidents. Nothing happens by chance. Since everything that is created has a reason and a purpose, then the concept of an accident must be an illusion designed to avoid taking responsibility for the creation. I'm going to repeat that one, because so many people think about that there's accidents. There are no accidents. Nothing happens by chance. Since everything that is created has a reason and a purpose, then the concept of an accident must be an illusion designed to avoid taking responsibility for the creation. Another one of the ultimate truths of reality. I create 100% of the time. I have the power to choose whether I apply that 100% toward creating what I want to or energizing what I don't want. Again, totally consistent with the information coming from a master magician like Merlin, basically you want to be focusing on what you want, not what you don't want. The more that you are focusing on complaint, blame, and justification of circumstances, the more you just create yourself as a victim. Not good. Okay, all events are neutral. Again, this is from Mother Mary 2,000 years ago. All events are neutral. I guess somebody missed that in my education. When I went through college or even in high school, nobody ever told me all events were neutral, that outer circumstances don't come with built-in meanings. Oh, that we place a definition and an emotional spin on outer circumstances, and that determines our experience of reality? I never heard that until I heard it from Bashar. I don't know about other people. Of course, everybody has got their own experience, but I'm just saying that in my point of view, this is interesting because 2,000 years ago, we have Mother Mary saying this, all events are neutral. Bashar is telling us that. The Palladians are telling us that. So again, a total consistency of all these excellent vehicles of information. There are no negative experiences, although I can choose to define any experience as negative. Therefore, if I am experiencing negativity in my life, then I have chosen it. Interesting point. Kind of like when Bashar says their definition of a habit. We think a habit is something like, I got to do my habit now. I'm going to go take another smoke. Because in human terms or in earth terms, a habit's something that we're aware we're doing, but we just keep doing it. But according to the Sasani, a habit is only a habit until you become aware you're doing it. After you become aware you're doing it, it's not a habit anymore, it's a choice. I like that one better because it is. It's not that, it's a choice. That's all it comes down to. Another one of the ultimate truths, I cannot be in fear unless I believe that whatever I fear is more power than I do. Good one. No doubt, because believing that anything or anyone else has more power than I do is, and catch this, the erroneous belief that causes all fear. Yeah, because you give up your power and then you can be afraid. Another good one. All disease is caused by the denial of negativity within. Since negativity is a perception based on a value judgment placed upon a neutral event or circumstance, it is essentially an erroneous belief out of which supporting false beliefs spring. Holding an erroneous belief system, especially in a suppressed or repressed form, creates an environment of internal discordance on a subconscious level. And over a period of time, denial of the judgment placed upon some aspect of oneself and then suppressed begins to alter the cellular structure of the area of the body where the memory of the event or circumstance is stored. This is cellular alteration, and it has been labeled a disease. It is really emotional self-judgment. Interesting concept, totally in line with my findings at Healing the Known and the Unknown. Here's a good one for those that like limitations and lack. There are no limitations. If I have an experience that I define as a limitation, it is happening as a result of the way I think. The appearance of all limitation is merely an effect of error thinking. God has no limitations, and as an aspect of God, neither do I, unless I believe I do. So, in which case, I will create the appearance of limitation as a direct result of my beliefs. And again, connected right 100% to beliefs. Another interesting aspect is that all beliefs that cause negative emotions are erroneous. Because all erroneous beliefs are based in fear, and therefore all negative emotions are also based in fear. The suggestion there is to accept all as perfection as it is, then use your power of choice to create the reality you prefer. And this is a tough one, I know, for many of us, that acceptance is the higher vibration of judgment. It's beyond forgiveness, because forgiveness implies that something has been done wrong. And this Gene Hatch's comment to Mother Mary, or the channeling of Mother Mary, Mother Mary states that whenever I look at it from being the creator and not the victim, I see that acceptance says that all is happening perfectly just as it is, because whatever is happening enables us to grow. And if I sincerely look at it as perfect just the way it is, I immediately move into the energy of love, trust, and peace. Then there's no longer any judgment. It is at this point that I reclaim my power and then use my power to change the event if I choose to do so. Interesting, interesting stuff. And interesting that this spirituality, which was, in my opinion, based on the real teachings of Jesus and Mother Mary and the scenes at that time, all centers around reality and beliefs, and in my view, creating magic, because that's what this world is, a magical world. And even Bashar would say that the word I-magination, that we're a nation of magicians, just have to become aware of it. And I'd also have to say that, to me, this is a phenomenal connection between teachings from a couple thousand years ago, because it was all there. This information was in the mystery schools for 2,000 years. We weren't seeing this taught out on the educational circuit. And then in my way of thinking, some of these new concepts like the law of attraction, Bashar has been teaching this for like the last 25, 30 years. You can go back to his old tapes. He's been teaching this all along. But about, three or four years ago, The Secret came out and it became very popular, basically around the thought creates. And it's good. It's a good thing, because more and more people among the middle stream of the population are now starting to get some of these ideas. But these ideas have been out there. And the first ones I came across was in the Jane Roberts Seth material. And then you go back to Bashar, and I've brought this up a few times on ET Yoga. If you've got sources of information that you were learning this kind of stuff, I'd like to know where else it comes from as well. I know it comes now from lots of places, but I'm saying back in the early 70s, I know that Ram Dass and Be Here Now, Now Be Here, he was putting out some pretty good information. This is all new stuff, to my way of thinking, as far as our society is concerned. These are new ways of thinking that relate to the fact that your thoughts, beliefs, definitions, emotions create your outer reality, that you're putting out an emotional field from the neural center in your heart that's 5,000 times magnetically more powerful than the brain, that this interfaces with the morphogenetic field and creates your version of reality. To me, this is new stuff. And by the way, about two or three programs ago on ET Yoga, I did a whole segment on the fact that they're now proving that the physical body actually phases in and out of existence. Well, that's a mind blower. Think about it. Our physical bodies flash in and out of existence, but we're taught that our consciousness is inside the brain. No, it's not. Our body is inside our consciousness, and the consciousness, actually, our bodies, what they really are, is a projection of our consciousness. Similarly, this whole holographic universe is a projection in the mind of God. That's basically the analogy. Now, another point, I guess, that's lost by many people is that this information that we're talking about tonight, this is a connection between much of the Pleiadian teachings. And if you're new to Pleiadian teachings, I highly recommend Bringers of the Dawn as a good starting point. Barbara Maciniak's book, she's also got a book out on self-empowerment. All these ideas related to self-empowerment, they are all related in one sense or another to your belief systems. And that's what it's all about. Because what you most strongly believe is what you're going to experience. That's the whole nature of the holographic universe, and proven now by our own quantum physicists. That's how it works. And no wonder there's such a, let's say, an interest in manipulating the population and getting them to, you know, watch 40 hours of television and a bunch of garbage where they put their spin on outer reality and actually try to create a reality based in fear. Think about that one for a while, and then you'll know why I don't have a television. Not that I can't afford one, although, I don't know, they're getting a little pricey. Interesting stuff that all this that we're talking about this evening, magic, belief, it's all connected. This is the real magic, to my way of thinking. It's not a trick. It's not a scam. It's actually the way things work. And I also like that connection that Merlin makes between third and fourth density. If you're one of those people that figures that everything's just happening to you at random, well, that you're welcome to your beliefs. That's fine, and not even to put you down, because everybody evolves at the rate they evolve. We've all been there. Nobody needs anybody, you know, complaining about us or putting us down or whatever. If that's your belief, all beliefs are equally valid. And as I've stated before, if you believe the world's flat and I believe the world's round, then fine, it's flat for you. That's cool. I mean, it will give you a more limited experience of all that is, and that's the consequence you pay for having erroneous beliefs. But the fact is all beliefs are equally valid. And I would also go further to say that any good student or anyone who's learning from anyone, including information you hear on ETH Yoga, don't believe anything that you don't resonate with. Like, never just, it'd be like if you were in school and you're copying somebody else's test paper. You know, unless you resonate or understand the information, no point in regurgitating it. Check the information out. See if it resonates with you. Now, if you're finding a source of information that you think is pretty accurate a lot of the time, you might want to then you might assume that it's probably true. I kind of do that a lot with Bashar. After all the things I've heard him say, and trying to pinpoint or find something that he said that's not accurate, that's a challenge. I challenge somebody to write in to me at ET Yoga, listen to Bashar, listen to tapes, listen to all his stuff's all over the internet, make a list of the things that Bashar's wrong about, and then send them to me, because I'll do a show on it. And it might be a 5-second show, but you know, I'll do a show on it. And point of fact is that as long as I've been doing ET Yoga, and of all the shows that I've ever done, which is probably, I don't know, approaching 100 shows, I stand by everything I've ever said on ET Yoga. And I would love to have actually anybody send me a list of the things I've said on ET Yoga that are wrong, because I'd like to make the corrections. So the challenge is certainly out there. Now, at the Creating Camelot Club site, which is basically for people who are into like fourth and fifth density awareness, they actually sell a book there. It's called Merlin's Message. It's just a little pocket-sized book. It's a fabulous little book, full of all kinds of interesting things, like, for example, like what Bashar says, that it's not seeing is believing, which is what we've been taught. No, it's believing is seeing. It's exactly the opposite, and this little book called Merlin's Message is, and it's $9.95. I don't get any kickbacks here. I'm just trying to keep you informed that if you want to get a really cool book for $10, that's really practical, and it's all about magic that we're talking about tonight. That's a good book, and they have a story in there about the Excalibur. And it's a really short one, and I'm going to just share that one with you this evening. Young Arthur, as we know, eventually King Arthur, innocently approached the sword and swiftly freed it from the stone without hesitation. He had no expectations of failure, for he had no fears about the outcome. And his power was in pure play, not in the torment of twisted possibilities. No yearning there, simply wonder, the wonder or what if. Those who failed to free the sword, came to the stone with great seriousness and anxiety. They were trying to use physical force for their power source, rather than allowing the force of the source to be their power. When you feel negative emotion, the sword remains stuck in the stone, for you have cut off the flow of your creative life force towards where you want to go. The sword of truth is freed from the stone when you feel positive emotion. When you choose to think thoughts that lift your spirit up, you lift the sword from the stone. You allow energy to flow through you to those things you desire. You have attained creative control of your kingdom. You are the monarchs of universal source, the creators of your own royal destiny. The inner realm is where you create the outer world. Wield your sword with the light of love and awaken to a life of living happily ever after, for this is truly your royal birthright. And on that note, I'd like to remind everyone that they can get further information on this topic at the WWET Yoga website. There's one of the products there. It's called Magic 201. I also have Wizardry 101. Pretty interesting stuff from my point of view. Does touch upon a few things maybe I didn't touch upon this evening. So if you want to get a little further into it, etyoga.com. Appreciate your support for anything that you might find of interest. And also in conjunction with what I mentioned earlier about disease, there is a free download there concerning the nature of disease, and that's at ET Yoga website. And as usual, I like to wish everyone out there my sincere best in your efforts in magic. I really love to hear about your successes with any of the ideas you've heard on ET Yoga, and I wish you my sincere best towards your attainment of full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance. And as usual, lately on the new ET Yoga program, we're now going to share with you the XYZ meditation.
I'd like to share with you the XYZ extraterrestrial meditation. First, you need to get really relaxed, either lying down or sitting comfortably or even standing up, whatever is the most comfortable for you. I then suggest taking a couple of deep breaths and imagine yourself in your perfect place of peace. You haven't a worry in the world and are just relaxing in your perfect place of peace. Then imagine the following. Around the area of your heart or solar plexus, just behind that area, is a bright ball of white light. It is a packet of energy that is your essence. This star that you feel inside yourself, this ball of light, now grows and grows and grows in intensity and gets stronger and stronger and stronger until it bursts forth as a beam of light, a laser-like beam bursting out of the front of you and stretches as far as you can imagine infinity to be. Stretching, stretching out as a beam of light beyond the solar system, beyond the Milky Way galaxy, and beyond, going faster and faster and faster all the way to infinity. But it is also elastic, so as it reaches infinity, it slows down and will stop and turn around, and as a solid beam, it will creep back towards you from the far reaches of infinity. Faster and faster and faster and faster and faster until it comes crashing through the center of your body and through you and out your back and all the way to infinity out the back. All the way out, further, further, until it reaches infinity and it returns, but a little faster now. And faster and faster and faster until it too crashes through you out the front all the way to infinity, but it returns even faster now out the back and out the front and out the back and out the front and out the back and out the front and out the back and out the front. Back and forth, 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 and out the front and out the back and out the front and out the back and out the front and back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And let yourself get used to this idea. And then when it gets right in the middle of your body, it crashes out the left side all the way to infinity and back out the right side all the way to infinity and turns and comes back to the center, out the left side and back out the right side and side to side and side to side and front and back 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 until you get used to the idea. And then you have created an X and Y axis. Now another beam goes crashing through your head up all the way to infinity and turns around and comes crashing back through your head and out the bottom and up and down 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 and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side. And it begins to build, 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 and builds to build until an infinite number of rays fly out simultaneously to infinity and stay there. You are suspended on beams of light, and you are stabilized at infinity. You hang there for eternity at infinity. Then you start to notice little bits of pulses, symbols, and signals, like a web that you are in the center of. Bits of information coming and going from every dimension and every space and time that exists. Every doorway and every gateway and forms and ideas and messages and communications like a giant matrix. You feel the ebb and flow of the infinite possibilities from every space and time, from front and back and side to side and up and down. Clickety-clack, 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 clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clack. Clickety-clack. Now send out one large pulse on every line outward and receive one large pulse coming back like a heartbeat. Boom, 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 boom. And now you're starting to sense a larger infinite mass mind behind this heartbeat, this pulse. It's like a gigantic awareness, one soul, one mind. You are suspended in the center of eternity. Boom, 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 boom. Now, with every heartbeat, a new breath, a new awareness, a new perspective, a new experience, a new sensation, a new dimension, a new galaxy, forever, forever, new, new, new. And now all the beams expand until you are surrounded in a sea of light that is becoming more transparent until it is like a bubble, but you can still hear it. Boom, 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 boom. You can feel the seed of all that is. And as the blood flows from your own heart, as the seed of the infinite of all that is, on that pulse you are connected from every direction and any direction simultaneously. And every time you remember your heartbeat, you will feel connected to this heartbeat. Be in your perfect place of peace and feel your heartbeat. Now, take a deep breath and feel refreshed, feel loved, and feel energized.